6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcius over to the right. Big shot! Score! Shane Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2:03 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shea Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! That's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top 2-1!
And welcome in Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a game day. Game number 67 tonight, Vegas Golden Knights at the Detroit Red Wings. Your Golden Knights coming in at 42-19-5, 89 points on the ledger against the Detroit Red Wings at 26-29-11, 63 points on the docket. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish going to be with you all the way. We've got 4 o'clock pregame show, 4:30 puck drop from Little Caesars Arena. And Frank, it's about time for the boys to get back at it and wipe away the bad taste in their mouth left by Columbus.
Yeah, now that should be a good place to do it at Detroit. They are not having a very good season, but as we've seen before, just because a team hasn't had a very good season doesn't mean that they can't have a good game or so. And so Vegas must be ready for this one. Tomáš Tatar goes back to his former team as well as Mr. Nosek. So, yeah, a couple former Red Wings that will be going up there. I don't think there's going to be a video tribute for either one of them, though.
Probably not, though. We are going to hear from Tomáš Tatar, though. He's going to sit down with Dan Duva. That will be available on the pregame show. We're also going to hear from Ryan Reeves on the pregame show as well, so tune in at 4 o'clock. Frank, before we get started with a lot of Golden Knights news, and there is plenty to keep us busy, we're also going to hear from Mike Rupp at NHL Network. Going to talk to him in about 25 minutes or so. But good news out of Columbus, where there was such bad news on Tuesday. Good news today. UNLV, the Skating Rebels, their opening game at the National Championship. They have defeated Drexel 7-1. They will play the University of Ohio at 10 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow.
So, yeah, UNLV looking good. I made the playoffs last year. Nice win, 7-1 in a hockey game. That's an absolute thrashing out there. So, Rebels once again looking good as they continue to try to impress people and hopefully in the not-too-distant future move up a level or two in the college hockey and maybe be a D1 team here someday soon.
That game was available on YouTube via UNLV Twitter. So if you want to catch out tomorrow's game, go to at UNLV Rebel Hockey on Twitter, and they'll have a link to how you can watch the game. Remember, that's 10 a.m. local time. But Frank, also on today's agenda, some roster moves. Thomas Hika is back. He should be in the lineup tonight. Nate Schmidt is still not with the team, but the team has said that they expect that he will join them on the road tomorrow in Buffalo.
Yeah, and obviously, certainly would love to see Mr. Schmidt come back, Neil as well. So, you know, this team is still a little bit banged up, but as Eric Hollis said after the last game in Columbus, he said, yeah, we have guys hurt, but we've been saying all year long how deep our roster is. It's time now for everybody to step up and prove that, and that is not an excuse. A lot of teams banged up at this time of the season, but it's not just so much injuries, because injuries are part of the game, but sometimes it is who's injured.
And on the who's injured list, Riley Smith, we all saw him get dinged up in Columbus. Gerard Gallant said he is day-to-day with an upper body injury. He is still with the team but will not play tonight. Tomáš Tatar will take his spot on the top line with William Karlsson and Jonathan Marchessault.
Yeah, and Tatar, I still really like his game, but, you know, hopefully tonight he'll just be with one line. He'll get some consistency and get a little bit more motivated there, and be great to see him get a goal against his former teammate there in Detroit. He got his first goal the other night. Now hopefully they can get a goal. Whether it's the first one or not doesn't matter. I just hope that they get the game-winning one at some point of the game.
That will put Hika with Howla and Perron, Tuck with Eakin and Carpenter, and Nosek with Belmare and Reeves.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting to see, too, Belmare. He came back in his last game. Hopefully he's got his skating legs under him again, and he'll be performing a little bit better as well. By his own admission, he didn't have the greatest game in the world, but he is such a big part of this team and such a big heart and leader on and off the ice that I'm sure he's going to do everything in his power. He's also good on the penalty kill, and there's certain things that they need him to do. Hopefully we won't have to see him in that role very much.
And it looks like Marc-Andre Fleury versus Jimmy Howard in net tonight.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any big surprise there. Jimmy Howard is the goalie that Detroit wanted. They traded Mrazek away. Philadelphia has him, and he's played great there. And Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, he's had the bulk of the workload, and I don't see that changing anytime soon, especially with the games every other day. Gerard Gallant mentioned it. Dan Duva's talked about it. Gary, a lot of people have said they're really not concerned with it. He did miss a lot of time, but it's still a lot of games that you're playing, even when you have off days on that. But Marc-Andre Fleury is a veteran. He's going out there, and I believe he's still about three or four games away from winning another milestone on his career. But he's one of the best goalies in the history of the NHL. Hopefully he has a good game tonight. The offense gets rolling a little bit. If that top line goes and the other lines chip in as well, it could be a very good night at Little Caesars Arena, which, by the way, I heard is a beautiful facility.
Yeah, it's getting rave reviews from around the league. All of that information coming after today's morning skate from Steve Karp at the Review Journal. If you want to follow Steve Karp while he's on the road on Twitter, it's at Steve Karp RJ. He usually has the latest information as it breaks as he's traveling and embedded with the team. But we did hear from the team today, Frank, as there has been another roster move, a free agent signing. General Manager George McPhee announced today that the team has signed free agent defenseman Zach Whitecloud to a three-year entry-level contract. Whitecloud just finishes his sophomore year with Bemidji State University, where he had 4 goals and 14 assists in 36 games. He is a defenseman, and they said that he will join the team immediately. They're hoping to have him at practice tomorrow in Buffalo.
Yeah, and McPhee says that it'll be good having this kid around the team. He'll learn from the veterans and that, and I'm sure that he's ecstatic to be here as well. So, and it's kind of funny because at the start of the season, the thing that you wouldn't think that they'd be adding right now is a defenseman coming in, but you know what? They've basically needed everybody that they've had this year up to this point. So Whitecloud hopefully turns into a good hockey player. I trust George McPhee's eye for talent.
He was a member of Team Canada, played in the 2017 Karjala Cup. He had one assist in 2 games, but he will be joining the team right away. And George McPhee addressed the media and spoke with Gary Lawless earlier today about the acquisition of Zach Whitecloud.
Golden Knights General Manager George McPhee. George, the team has signed college free agent Zach Whitecloud out of Bemidji State. What can you tell us about Zach?
Very well-rounded player, highly sought-after defenseman by a lot of clubs, and we are delighted to acquire him. It's our first college signing, and should be a very good fit for the Vegas Golden Knights.
When can we expect to see Zach around the team? Is this something that's imminent?
Yeah, he'll join us in the next couple of days as soon as we can get him on a plane and meet up with us.
And he could play in the lineup as early as this season?
He could. He could, but the benefit of having him here is he can really learn a lot by being around the pros and practicing and training with us.
So he'll stick with the team for the rest of the season. Yes. What type of a player is he, and what attracted you to him?
He's a mobile defenseman who moves the puck real well, is a safe player right now. We think he plays kind of conservatively. We believe that he can give us a lot more offensively, and there's lots of room for growth there. So I like that he's got his base attributes are that he's good and safe and conservative. And if we can build the offense into his game, that could be a pretty good player.
He is coming out, so he will sign a pro contract and be a member of the Golden Knights organization, come to development camp and training camp next year, and where he plays next year will be a result of how he plays.
That's right. That's right. So he'll do all those things, and we've agreed to terms, and as soon as we can get him to the club, he'll start learning.
How did he come onto your radar?
Well, our scouts have identified him, and Kelly McCrimmon knew him from his time in Manitoba. And so we've worked on him for a few years here, and he's really developed well, and he wants to be a pro now. And as I said, we're really delighted to have him.
That was General Manager George McPhee talking about Zach Whitecloud. Looks like it's going to be a good addition, a guy that maybe they just want to get up with the team, let him have some practices, experience what it's like before they really decide where he's going to fit in over the summer.
Yeah, 21 years old, 6'1", 196 pounds. And like George had said there, Kelly McCrimmon kind of knew him. And so he was on a lot of people's radar out there. What I like about it was when he said that he's a conservative, kind of a safe defenseman right now, and that he'll build his game offensively with the team and with their philosophies and everything else out there. So it kind of looks like they're saying, all right, we like what we see here from the defensive mold. We can make the other stuff happen with the coaching staff and everything else out there. But right now they want somebody who's that defensive-minded guy to help out and do the things. And it seems like Whitecloud is a guy that not only the Vegas Golden Knights were looking at, but maybe a few other teams as well.
And it's good to have another defensive-minded defenseman when you look at the youngsters on the team, the Shea Theodores, the Eric Brandstrom, as he's going to come up. Those guys are always offensive-minded, so you need a defensive-minded guy to pair with them.
Yeah, and not the biggest guy in the world, but 196 pounds, so, you know, maybe gets on a little weight program, puts on a little bit more even, you know, goes around two bills or something like that. Probably somebody that can throw his weight around a little bit, maybe keep guys out of the crease and make it easier for Marc-Andre Fleury or Malcolm Subban or whoever happens to be in net. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing him. I don't know that much about him, going to be honest. But, again, I trust George McPhee and what he's looking for. And if McPhee and McCrimmon say he's a go, then he's certainly worth a look.
So Zach Whitecloud joining the team. Hopefully we will first see him at practice in Buffalo tomorrow. Going to be issued jersey number 2. So Zach Whitecloud is going to wear number 2. Well, it is a game day, and it is time for our Vegas Golden Knights game day preview, brought to you by Raikman Plumbing and Air Conditioning, where a flush beats a full house every time. The Golden Knights, coming off of a loss in Columbus, still hold a 9-point lead over the Anaheim Ducks in the Pacific Division. Looking at two straight games here in Detroit and in Buffalo, where you think 4 points is up for grabs. They certainly want to have a better effort than in Columbus and take 2 of those 4 points tonight.
Yeah, they definitely want to get this win tonight. Howard in goal for Detroit, no surprise there. He's a good goalie, but I don't think he's an exceptional goalie. This Detroit team is not very good. They're not that solid this season, but again, on any given night, anybody can come up and beat you. We've seen that time and time and time again. And Tomas Tatar goes back there. He just recently played with the Red Wings, so I would imagine that he has quite a bit of information on this team to tell his teammates. And the guy that everybody's going to be watching, at least here in Vegas as we're watching the game, come up and join us up at Parkway Tavern right up the street, 215 in Flamingo. I know I'm going to be watching Mantha all night long, because he's the guy that hurt Marc-Andre Fleury last time when these two teams met up, and I want him as far away from the crease as possible.
Now, last time these two teams met back at T-Mobile Arena on October 13th, that was a 6-3 victory for Detroit, and that was the night that Marc-Andre Fleury, of course, got the concussion. Saw those leads slip away, and we saw question marks in the net for the next 6-8 weeks.
Yeah, we saw second, then third string, then fourth string, then fifth string. I mean, they had to go deep into the stockpile. Oscar Dansk came in, got the first shot out of Vegas Golden Knights history. Then he got hurt right away. Then Malcolm Subban came in. He got hurt. Then we saw Max Lagasse. We even saw Ferguson for a little bit in a game. So they definitely went deep into the into their goaltending depth chart, and but you know what, they survived it all. They came out pretty good, the top team in the Pacific. I still think they have to be the front runner for the Pacific Division right now. I don't think they're going to catch Nashville. Nashville just seems on fire right now, and they've made some additions. I really think they're good. Winnipeg is also right there with them, but they still have to watch the teams behind them a little bit. Nobody's really caught fire yet. The Ducks took over second place with their win the other night. So they're now just a little bit ahead of San Jose. The Kings are coming right up as well. Calgary's still in it. Calgary actually just finally played a really good game. If they get Mike Smith back, they can be dangerous as well. So it will be interesting to see what happens from this point on for the rest of the season.
Getting ready for tonight's game, Golden Knights and the Red Wings, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Knights hockey in Las Vegas. And one of the guys that's going to have to carry a little bit of weight while James Neal is on the shelf has been Erik Haula. We saw him get a goal in Columbus. He's played pretty well despite getting dinged up a little bit there in New Jersey. Head coach Gerard Gallant was asked earlier today about Erik Haula's offensive output and whether or not he'll need to step up even more.
I think if you look at our team, a lot of guys had the opportunity to go in the offensive role. A lot of those guys that we picked up in expansion are third and fourth line players, and you know, they get the opportunity to step in and get some more ice time, and Eric's taking advantage of it. He deserved everything he gets. He's deserved power play time. He deserved to be a top two line guy, and he's taking advantage of it, playing real well.
How much more do you think that he has to give?
He better give a lot more. We got a lot of games left, and no, I like him. He's confident. He's playing well, and he's you know, he's a cocky guy out there, but he's confident, and I like the way he plays. He's got a lot of speed and a lot of talent, and he's putting the puck in the net, so he feels good about his game.
Jared, when did you maybe have an inkling that this team was something special?
Yeah, after the first 10 games, we got an unbelievable start. We had an unbelievable record at home, and I thought it was a good team then. And then probably, I always go back to the Nashville-Dallas games, two games in the row were two real good hockey teams, and both of those games we outplayed the opponent and we played real well and won both of those games, and that was probably 2 months ago. So I thought we had a special team then, and the guys are working hard and competing hard every night, and they're having fun.
Gerard, obviously you've had a little tougher sledding here lately.
Yeah.
How much of that is injury, and how much is it that everybody else is kind of raising their level now?
No, I think, you know, I'm the coach that always says it's nice when you can roll your four lines and you know who's going out there every night, and injuries are part of our game for every team in the NHL, and I'm not here to make excuses, but when you got to change your lineup up, you got to put different guys in different positions, and it definitely hurt us in the last little while, but that's part of the NHL, and we're just going through that phase right now, and we haven't had much of that all year long. So, you know, we'll play well and work hard, and we'll get out of this.
That was head coach Gerard Gallant talking to the media after today's morning skate, and you got to like what he says about Eric Halla. He's been great, but I want more.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree, and he kind of says that about everybody. When Carlson got his 30th goal, he was like, well, yeah, why stop there? Why not get 40? Why not keep on going that way? So, you know, he always says it with a smile on his face, but you do know that it's like, yeah, these guys are performing, but they need to keep on performing, and I expect this from them. And, you know, when you have expectations, that's a good thing, but then you do have to live up to them. I do want to correct myself just a little bit too early when I said that nobody in the Pacific was really catching fire. The Ducks have actually won 3 in a row, and they're 7-2-1 in their last 10, so Anaheim actually is playing very well right now, and they're the team that right now trails Vegas.
And they're a nice, big, heavy playoff team, and you talk about teams that are built for the regular season and teams that are built for the postseason, and you think about the recent postseason collapses that the Ducks have had, and they've really tried to address that in the roster moves that they've made to keep that heavy, punishing lineup that they have, but add a little bit more offensive flair. The guy like Adam Henrique has been that for them.
Yeah, and they've also had very good goaltending this season. So, you know, they're always a dangerous team and a team that you don't want to face in the playoffs. Not necessarily that you can't beat them, because the Ducks haven't won the Stanley Cup. Somebody beats them every season. But the thing about playing Anaheim is, even if you get the victory and you move on to the next round, they do have a tendency to beat you up a little bit, and the team that faces them might lose in that following round after facing them, just because of how physical they are. So you might beat them on the scoreboard, but the toll might be too much to bear to continue on in the playoffs a little bit. That's where I always find Anaheim scary. And like you mentioned, with adding guys like Henrique and getting a little bit more offensive minded and doing that, some of that kind of stuff as well, they become even scarier. Whenever you have a team that's really heavy and physical with a good goalie, and then they get a little bit of offensive firepower as well, that makes them even scarier. And Anaheim now a +7 on the season for that goal differential. They were minus not too long ago.
And they have a stern test tonight as they will travel to Nashville to play the Predators. That one's going to get underway 5 o'clock here locally, about a half an hour after we do. Remember, we'll have the pregame show at 4 o'clock and the puck drop at 4:30 right here on Fox Sports Radio. We're going to be right up the street at 215 in Flamingo at Parkway Tavern. So if you're in the neighborhood and want to catch the game, swing on by. They always have the sound on, plenty of TVs with Golden Knights hockey on them. But getting back to tonight's game against Detroit, this is a game that the Golden Knights need. And you say that sometimes, well, not every game is a must-win game, and you know, we can't get up for all of them, and you're going to lose games. This is a game that I think everybody in that dressing room understands the importance of, just like they understood the importance of going to New Jersey to start this road trip and getting off on the right foot and sort of stopping that mini slide. This is another spot where the Golden Knights need to be really good tonight.
No, I agree with you, and let's face it, Detroit's a minus 24 in their goal differential. They've lost 4 games in a row. They are not having a good season, like we mentioned. 26, 29, and 11. They are going in the wrong direction. They obviously became sellers. They don't have Mrazek anymore as their backup goaltender. He was doing a solid job for them. They don't have Tomas Tatar. This is a team that is kind of building for the future right now. Now, that makes them scary in a little bit because some of the guys are coming in or some of the replacement players might think this is my opportunity to prove myself. You can't look past them, but this is a very winnable game and a game that, quite frankly, the Vegas Golden Knights should win and need to win.
In Detroit, although they got a loss in overtime last time out, it was with Boston, and Boston's clearly one of the better teams in the East. They skated with them all night, lose 6-5 in overtime. They did lose the last three games prior to that in regulation. But, yeah, if you can skate with Boston, you can skate with anybody.
Yeah, and certainly. And the thing that they have to do, that they have to keep on playing, and they have to do Vegas Golden Knights hockey that got them to the record that they are right now. And Gerard Gallant was actually pleased with the last game, 38 shots on goal. But don't just look at the shots on goal. Don't just be somebody who's staring at the stat sheet or something like that. Watch where the shots are coming from. Watch if there's traffic in front of Howard to make it difficult from him. Watch to see if there's guys there to bang in a rebound or make an attempt if they don't. Because shots on goal is a great thing to have, but scoring chances and opportunities are the things that you're looking for. A shot on goal is not a scoring chance if the goalie just gets to play catch with it or something like that. That would take a lucky bounce or just somebody misplaying one. NHL goalies today across the board are generally too good to let that happen. We see it now and again, but not nearly as often as we used to. They need to get aggressive. They need to get in front of the net. They need to make it very difficult on Howard. Give him a very, very long night. And although they're not playing well, they do have that beautiful new arena. They have one of the most rabid fan bases in all of hockey. They're known as Hockey Town for a reason. You don't want to let their crowd get into it either, because they will be behind this team. And I'm sure that they're going to cheer for Tatar when he comes there. But they also want to beat Tatar.
They certainly do. So I look forward to tonight's game. Up, I said, please join us 4 o'clock for the pregame, 4:30 for a puck drop. When we come back, Mike Rupp from the NHL Network is going to join us, talk a little Golden Knights hockey, talk some other pressing news items around the NHL right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley.
Side by Rupp. Rupp, the young rookie who came to the playoffs late for the Devils, but has played physically big. Frees him. Rupp picks it up. Trying to go back to the point. Did. White shot. Blocked by Niedermeyer. Scott Niedermeyer scores! Mike Rupp deflected it!
Langenbrunner. Rupp. Frees it. They had a great first period deep. They won the battles along the boards. Now they go to the net. A little deflection, and Jaguar was on his way down. The puck went through. A wrist shot.
That went between Jaguar's pads from our Southwest Airlines goal cam. You can see that he tried to close down the five hole. Couldn't get there in time. Without a doubt, the dominant line in this game so far has been Rupp, Friesen, and Langenbrunner, and they're doing it with their size.
You never know where heroes will come from in a game seven.
That was a fine memory for our next guest, Mike Rupp, one of New Jersey's finest, now with the NHL Network. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to talk to you. Lots of good memories I've met about that game and your time in New Jersey.
Yeah, it was certainly a highlight of mine, and being able to be a part of that team and hoist the cup that year. You know, it happened in my rookie year. I think I got a little spoiled thinking that you're going to win multiple cups in your career, and that wasn't the case. I think it gives you a real appreciation of how difficult it is to get there and to end up winning it.
One of our favorite memories, though, of you comes from your time in New York when you had a, let's just say, difference of opinion with Jody Shelley.
You looking for a fight? Oh, no, this one.
That, I got to tell you, that gave us such joy today when we were finding good highlights from you. That I don't, what happened between you and Jody Shelley? He seems like a decent human being.
He is, actually. He's a really good guy. We were teammates in Columbus, too, line mates, actually, and you know, it's just one of those things where it's in the heat of the moment, and you're out there playing, and we had a big rivalry that year, and we were getting, things were heating up, getting closer to the Winter Classic, and yeah, I was just trying to do my job and settle a guy down on his team, and he was doing his job trying to get me to settle down. So those things happen, and unfortunately, well, it depends who you're talking to, I guess. But for me, unfortunately, it was caught on a mic, and I hear a lot about that ever since.
Well, I got to tell you, I saw that video. I think I watched it about 10 times today. I think it's my new favorite video of all time. But I mean, you know, but what I love about hockey is that you guys can do that sort of stuff on the ice and that. And then when the game's over, you know what? So is that over. It's part, like you said, it's the heat of the moment and that. And, you know, I'm sure that you're friends with them now. And you guys still have a chuckle about that someday? Or is it something that you just kind of don't even bring up anymore?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't. I've never brought it up with Jody. You know, I've been pretty, since it happened, I've had a lot of in interviews just like this, and different times it's been brought up, and you know what, it's not something that I love that I did, but that's kind of gives the, it was the whole point of having that 24/7 following us around. It gives you that stuff happens on the ice. You know, and that's the beauty of it. And Jody Shelley, you can ask anybody that's ever played with him or even against him for that matter. He's one of the greatest guys in the National Hockey League off the ice. And he'll do anything for you as a teammate as well. And, you know, he just knew his role and played it to a T. And I'm sure that he understands that in that moment, both trying to do our jobs.
We out here in Vegas haven't really had sort of a tough guy mentality with a lot of players until we recently got Ryan Reeves. Ryan Reeves, just on the NHL survey, was voted the toughest player in the NHL. We saw him come in here and have some words with the folks in L.A. When you look at a guy like Ryan Reeves and what his responsibilities will be with a team like Vegas, do you like the fit or no?
Yeah, I do. I got to see him. I do quite a bit, even outside of NHL Network with AT&T Sportsnet in Pittsburgh. And he's a guy that you know when he's on the ice. He has a big, big presence. And there's even looking at that L.A. game that he was in with the Knights, I believe that was his first home game. And he was a force. And you had to know when he was out there because he's going to make you pay. You know, you get the crowd going, you wake the boys up a little bit. He's very good at doing that. I think the interesting thing to me is the way the NHL is right now, and I think you saw it in that game. He's so big, he's so strong, he's feared by a lot of players in the league that he gets penalties called against him that aren't necessarily penalties. And that game was one of those where I saw him going out there, and he finished a great hit behind the net. It's not a penalty. They throw him in the box. So that's kind of the fine line coming down the home stretch here for the Golden Knights and in the playoffs that he's going to have to balance is how can I do this but not put my team down? Because what he does bring is very big. He controls the puck in the offensive zone, gets in there on the forecheck, and when you've got big Ryan Reeves coming down, breathing down your neck, You're going to give up the puck a little bit early, and you're going to deliver a rushed pass to somebody else and force turnover. So he does that really well.
You know, it's interesting because you bring up that one check, and I know the one you're talking about, and he's definitely a heavy guy, and it almost seems like he gets penalized because he is bigger, faster, and stronger than the other guys out there. But he was pretty adamant about the fact that not only did he didn't think that was a penalty in that game, but he kind of basically just shook his head and said, it's not going to be a penalty if I do that same hit in the playoffs. Do you think they do make that call in the playoffs today? Because it seems like historically in the NHL, they do let you play a little bit harder, a little bit more physical, because that kind of hit to me looked like a playoff hit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it should have been called in any format. it was a good hard hit, and I remember watching that hit, and I said out loud at that moment, that's a penalty for being too strong. So I don't know, that's a call on the ice that should be made is, this guy's too strong, because that's what it looked like to me. But, you get away with a lot more in the playoffs. You're going to see more players that maybe even don't throw their weight around in the playoffs, and that's what you love. And you have some people complaining that, hey, the game's called differently, things are opened up more, they don't allow the stick work during the regular season, but then all of a sudden the playoffs come around and it's a different game. As players, you don't mind that it's called differently as long as it's called consistently in the playoffs. And I think that that's the biggest thing. Guys got to know, and usually refs are very good, and you can kind of set the tone throughout the game and get a feel of, okay, this is, you know, kind of like a strike zone in baseball. What's the ump dealing with? Is he calling the corner here? Is he, you know, and when you figure that out, then you got to react accordingly. But he should be able to throw his weight around a little more of a successful clip than he does now, because everybody's going to be.
You know, Mike, we played that goal that you had in the playoffs there at the start of the segment here with you, and certainly that wasn't necessarily your forte, but you could score goals and you could do a lot of different things on the ice like the players of today do. One guy when this team was first assembled that people thought was going to be the tough guy on this team was Derek Englund, and he still is a tough guy, but he hasn't dropped the gloves. He hasn't gotten in a fight yet this year, but he's become a true leader on the ice and off the ice, and he's actually got a scoring touch this year as well. What do you make of somebody like his game and how he's kind of changed it to today's game a little bit, and he's really become an asset to this team in so many different ways, in the community and everything else, even basically helping all of his teammates find places to live because he's a Vegas resident.
Yeah, and you know what? Derek Englund is unbelievable. He's an awesome guy. Great story of how there's the persistence. Just he worked. He worked at his game, and you guys know him very well from playing in Vegas, in the East Coast Hockey League. And I remember being in training camp with him, I think it was his first couple years of playing pro hockey. And he's come an extreme long way since then. I played with him in Pittsburgh. He can move the puck. He can deliver hits. He can provide the odd offensive play here and there. And I think he's having a fantastic year there. There's always something about playing at home that gets you a little more fired up all the time, and just allows you to play more comfortably. And I love the fact that he doesn't have to fight this year, because I'll tell you what, he's made enough of a name for himself. No one thinks that he forgot about that or forgot how to do that. Derek Englund's one of the tougher guys in the league, and I love it, because he's a guy who's put in the work, and now you're seeing the fruits of it here in Vegas.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, on with Mike Rupp from the NHL Network. And Mike, looking around the rest of the league, one of the biggest topics has been goaltender interference. We saw Cam Talbot come out and complain about it in the postgame press conference. We saw Mike Babcock just the other day question what is goaltender interference. It's something we hear you guys debate on NHL Network all the time. The NHL said that they're going to address it at the general managers' meetings March 19th through the 21st down in Florida. What do you suspect is going to come of this meeting? Many people are hopeful that they'll come to a decision that will be implemented in the playoffs. It seems like that's a pretty tight time frame. What's the future of this debate?
Well, it's an interesting one. The track record of it in the past, if you remember back, what was it? I want to say it was in 99 when it was the Dallas Stars versus the Buffalo Sabres and the infamous Brett Hall foot in the crease for the Dallas Stars on Dom Hasek. And that at that time, it was if any part of your body or foot or anything is in the blue paint, it should automatically be no goal. And a lot of times that was frowned upon, because if I'm on the other side of the crease and I'm told my skate is in the blue paint, I'm not impeding this goaltender to make a save at all. I have no influence on the play, and they would call that no goal. And so you got away from that. And where it is it's a judgment call. And the only thing that I think about it is that makes it a little sticky for me is when you have referees that have to make a call on the ice, and then you go, just like in any other sport where there's reviewable plays, you have to have conclusive evidence to overturn it, and sometimes you just don't get that, and it becomes a judgment call. And every game you have different sets of referees, so that makes it inconsistent. So I would love for them, just like they review every goal in Toronto, just to have it coming from the same, you know, we've heard rumors of potentially having a off-ice official, a referee in the Situation Room or the War Room in Toronto and overlooking and overseeing everything, just to get it going through the same hands and the same eyes all the time, will at least give us consistency. And that goes back to what I was saying in the playoffs. All you want is consistency, and right now we're not getting that because I'm on air and on NHL Network, and we see a play happen, and you know I'm supposed to give what I think is the right call in my analysis on the play. And to be frank, I have no idea what's going on because I don't know what's goaltender interference anymore. So guys just want to know what it is, have consistency in that. It doesn't even have to, we don't even have to agree with it. We just have to know what is going to be called consistently, and then you kind of go from there.
You know, I thought it was interesting because that Toronto-Buffalo game where Babcock was upset about it with the interference on Toronto there, and Shane Knighty, who does a great job with the Vegas Golden Knights and AT&T Sportsnet and doing the games for them as well, he was doing the commentary on that game from down on ice level, and he had mentioned that he thought that they were going to overturn it because it was goaltender interference. But it kind of seems to me like the more games I've watched since the All-Star break, that they've been going with the call on the ice more and more. And I'm just wondering if maybe that's a direct result of Gary Bettman basically saying, look, if we have to look too hard and you take too long, then you're looking for something too much and just stay with the call on the ice. I kind of got the feeling in the back of my mind that if they would have called it goaltender interference, they would have stuck with that. And the fact that they didn't, they stuck with the goal just because it seems like they're leaning towards keeping the call that's on the ice. Do you see the same thing sometimes?
Yeah, I think so. And on that play in particular, I mean, the one thing that I've always felt when a goaltender gets out of the crease, out of the blue paint, there should be, you know, marginal contact should be allowed. And that situation there was still at the very top, but in the crease. So you've got to limit it a little bit there. I thought for sure that was goaltender interference. I think the game happens so quickly that why are we so hung up on what the call is on the ice? And I get it about the time and reviewing, but they review every goal. And by the time you get to center ice, I mean, even if it's regardless, the puck's in the net. So you know that there's going to be a whistle, there's a stoppage of play. And after every goal, before you even get to the ensuing faceoff, I mean, you're talking maybe 5 seconds delay to get the thumbs up from the scorer's table to drop the puck. They generally should be able to figure it out pretty quick there. And as long as it's the same eyes looking at it all the time, I don't think people are going to question it as much because it doesn't seem to be more, it's a judgment call, but it's coming from a consistent source. And I think that would solve a lot of bickering on the plays.
When you look at the teams that have caught the eye of the national media throughout the year, of course, Golden Knights have been one, Tampa has been another, now it's Nashville and Winnipeg. Going into the playoffs, who do you want to be right now?
Ooh, it's tough. I think this year is really unique. I'd say especially in the Eastern Conference because there's not really a spot where you'd say, hey, that team, if they can finish in this slot, they've got an easier road. They're all tough matchups. The Western Conference is pretty close in that area as well, and it gets really tough because you see these matchups. I mean, if I'm looking at that Western Conference and I'm picking and I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, that's a team I think that's definitely doable and maybe a quote-unquote easier path to the Stanley Cup is maybe a face-off against the San Jose Sharks team. But, I mean, do you really want to say that? They were in the Cup Finals 2 years ago. They're, you know, they're two games away from winning the Stanley Cup. So all of them kind of have these different layers to them that are really interesting. None of them are, I mean, it's the playoffs. None of them are easy. But you look at certain teams, I mean, there's no easy out. I mean, the Minnesota Wild, they're one of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League. You can go on in that Central Division with Nashville's unbelievable right now. Winnipeg Jets are going to be a force to be reckoned with. The Anaheim Ducks, for me, are a team that I would not be shocked at all if they're playing come June. And then you got Vegas. Vegas, does any team want to go into Vegas and try to win hockey games this year? None of them are good for anybody. You just want to get there, and I think that just brings what the cliches we always hear teams say. We're going to worry about ourselves getting our game to a certain level, and that's how you have to approach it.
And, you know, it's interesting, too, Mike, because it's easy to look at Tampa Bay because they've been great all season long, and Nashville, like you mentioned, they're on fire, and they have to be the favorite to win the West right now. But, you know, no team that's won a conference, whether it's the East or the West, that was in first place has made it to the Stanley Cup final since the Blackhawks back in 2013. So winning in the regular season doesn't necessarily equate to winning in the playoffs.
Yeah, and my thing that I always chalk that up to is a lot of these teams who win by a good margin, maybe win the President's Trophy. Let's say the Washington Capitals are pretty much been the best example of this in recent years. When you are dominant in the regular season the way that Washington has been in the past, you're winning games because you're that much better, and you're getting good goaltending, and you're getting timely goals, and all those good things. But when you're playing not meaningful hockey for the last 15, 20 games of the year, little things creep into your game, bad habits, little things that you don't notice until you're like, this is a problem, but it's been growing for a little while. And those teams that finish so high, they have those bad habits, and then all of a sudden it's like you're getting thrown right in the right on the highway, and cars are going 85 miles an hour, and you gotta get up to speed quick. It's tough. Mm-hmm. And these other teams that are fighting and they're peaking at the right time, they don't have those problems, or they wouldn't get in the playoffs. And it's something that you just can't fix overnight. Just as it's a slow fade with having those bad habits get in, it's a hard time getting them out of your game too. So that's why I think the Washington Capitals and some of these teams, even the Tampa Bay Lightning, they're not running away with it. They have the Boston Bruins that are right there. And these are good things, good problems for those teams to have, because you're fighting every day in the standings, and that's a real healthy thing before the playoffs.
All right, it certainly is, and we look forward to having you back. Thanks for taking some time to talk to us tonight. We certainly appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, guys.
All right, and that was Mike Rupp. He works for the NHL Network, and they will feature the Flyers and the Bruins at 4 o'clock Pacific tonight. Plus, you can watch Mike on NHL Tonight immediately following the game. Visit NHLNetwork.com for your local channel listings. When we come back, we're going to take a look at an award that was given out recently to an NHL player. Pretty fun stuff. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley.
Now he goes out here. Now look at this. He goes out here. You do that. And I'm telling you, back in the day when we had Semenko and these guys, they took care of that stuff. PK is a good player. I mean, he's no Bobby Orr. He's a good player.
Defenseman P.K. Subban doing his best, Don Cherry. And P.K. Subban, winner of an award recently, Frank.
Yeah, he was at the Shots Fired Just for Laughs Comedy Festival in Montreal last year. He does a little bit of stand-up in that. By the way, if you get a chance, Google that or YouTube it or whatever you have to do, because it's not only PK doing Don Cherry and doing a great job, but he wears the jacket. He basically goes into his clothing and that. There's actually a commercial that he did a few years back where he's looking at the different players and that, and he takes a jacket of Don Cherry's and he walks on the set, and they go, "Does Don know you have that?" He goes, "Oh, why does he have... I make this look good."
He won the Canadian Screen Award for hosting Just for Laughs at the Montreal Comedy Festival. It's kind of the Canadian version of the Emmys. So a little stand-up, a little fun for PK. Boy, why did they get rid of that guy?
Yeah, you know the difference between that and the Emmys, though? With PK Subban hosting, I might watch that.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, PK Subban's got quite a game in front of him tonight. The Predators take on the Anaheim Ducks there in Nashville, and we've got a game as well. Golden Knights at the Detroit Red Wings, 4 o'clock for the pregame show, 4:30 for puck drop right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, it should be a good game tonight. Vegas really needs this one badly. No, it's not a must win. They still have the lead, but They need to win it.
They do. Stick around. TC Martin, the doctor, is next.